Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview and promote people who are making a positive difference in this world with their lives. My name's Tom Tuttle Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and speaker, helping people to live positively with and through the many and varied challenges of life. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", hence the nickname Too Tall, and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the steroid prednisone that I took to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I tell people that 80% of the time it's true. The other 20% of the time, it's to remind myself that it's true. And you can find out more about me at my website. It's tall.com. My guest today is the amazing Philip Hatfield, who is a Ziegler Company speaker. And that should be all the introduction you need when you just add the word Ziegler Company speaker in there. But he has an amazing story. Philip is an amputee from a devastating accident in November of 2008. He was not expected to live, almost died 7 times in the first 10 days, but he not only survived, but he's also thrived. Being blessed to be alive drives his passion to share lessons learned from life and from business. His message is crystal clear, all about hope, encouragement, and attitude, finding a new vision and a dream, and making genuine goals, planning to achieve your dreams, and then working the plan. Plan, prepare, execute, and expect to win. From burning down the house at 4 years old, oh my goodness, to working with his dad digging ditches in his building business, to turning around a major 4-star hotel after a fire that left 5 people dead and 33 seriously injured. 25 years he's been a leader in business in his community. He's learned how to succeed against all odds and worked with some amazing companies, Regency Hotels, Flooring America, Oak Creek Homes, and Zig Ziglar. And his expertise is realizing people are the greatest asset and resource for any business or organization. Known as the turnaround guy, he helps people and businesses create a new plan to turn their lives and businesses around 180 degrees. Welcome to the show today, Philip.
Thank you so much, Tom. I'm looking forward to this call. Thank you, and this radio show.
I love what your purpose is, and our mind is kind of the same, is to help people find that crystal clear vision and purpose, God-given purpose even better, for their lives. And you've had to go through that, do that while going through serious adversity in your life. That was only 2008, 6 years ago. What's happened in the last 6 years? Take us through a little bit of that, because from going from not expecting to survive to being a Ziegler Company speaker, pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it is. That is, I'll tell you what, Tom, I would have never in my life ever dreamed that I'd ever get the chance to work for the Ziegler Corporation. But it's just so funny, and you know just as I do that, you know, life didn't always work out just like we have it planned. But these roadblocks, these challenges, and the struggles that we have, they actually make us stronger. And that's what you and I have gone through, actually give us more purpose and passion to share with people and let them know why that we are here. And that's why I'm enjoying it. That's why I look so forward to doing this show, because you and I are two peas in a pod. You know, I thought about you, and I thought about this morning about Nick Vujicic, and, you know, Vic, he has no arms and no legs. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of us times people wonder how we can walk around with big smiles on our faces and how we do what we do. But you know what? It's because God has given us this purpose to do what we're doing in business and life, and that's to inspire people. So I'm excited to be with you today, Tom.
I love it. And when you say Nick Vujicic, that's when I, a lot of times when I have aches and pains in my elbows, my ankles, my knees, my hands and fingers, I think, well, at least I have a pain in those joints, because Nick and another guy I interviewed, Kyle Maynard, born with no arms and legs, these guys would love to have an ache in their ankle or their elbow or their wrists or their hands. And so, yeah, you think of those people and you think, man, that guy makes more money than I do. He's impacting more people than I am, and he's going around the world more than I do. So what the heck do I have to complain about? A sore this or aching that or whatever, because people are taking these tragedies, not tragedies, they're taking these things that God has allowed, but they're using it in a positive way so to give hope and encouragement to other people. And so you've been able to do that and at the same time build a business that's totally separate. It's, they're not hiring always Philip because of what you've gone through that way, but you've also had a very successful business career as well. So talk a little bit about that, because that happened before you became an amputee.
Yeah, you know, my business career started, and it's kind of a long story there, but I'll just kind of shorten it real quick for you. But long story short, I got kicked out of college. I was one of those kids that thought attendance and grades were kind of like the electives. So I got invited to leave right after my, right after I was the middle of my first semester of my sophomore year, and I barely made it to sophomore. And I had one of those invitations, and I made the dean's list, but it's not the dean's list you want to make. But he called me in, and we became friends throughout the year, year and a half, and it was so funny. But whenever he called me in this particular time, he still had a smile on his face. But he says, "Philip, I'm going to have to invite you to leave the school." And, you know, there I had to go back, and there I was, 19, 20 years old. Yeah, I'd messed up several things, and I still just didn't quite have that focus. And here, what was I going to do, try to put my life back together and really to build a life? And so, you know, I got wound up working for a chicken place. Have you heard of Church's Fried Chicken? Do you have those up there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was the guy in the back. You know, they put us in this ice-cold cooler, and we had to put a coat on because we're going to be in there an hour and a half. We had the low man on the totem pole, so you think you're a low man because you're short? I had the low man job, buddy. We were in there freezing cold and learning how to cut up the chickens and then go out and fry them. But, you know, that's where I begin to learn about people and business and life. And long story short, I begin to learn about business, and it's like, wow, it become fun. And from there, I wound up getting into the hotel business and food and beverage director, and a guy recruited me. He kept calling me, kept saying, man, I want you to be a general manager for my hotel over there in Fort Worth. Well, I grew up in Fort Worth, and I wanted to go back home. And so there I was in Shreveport, Louisiana, at the Regency Hotel, and he showed me these beautiful pictures of this hotel. And I was like, wow, I'm going to get to be the general manager at 24 years old. I'm doing good. And, you know, Tom, I took the job, and then I turned in my notice, and 2 weeks later, I arrived on site. Once I drove up to the hotel, I got off of the highway. Back then it was I-20 and Beach Street. When I got off and I saw the beautiful sign, I saw this one beautiful building. It's like, man, my heart started pumping. It's like, wow, I've made the big time. But as I got up, Tom, and I got ready to pull into the property, the main building where all the people stayed at night on the left-hand side was burnt down. I mean, burnt almost to the ground. My heart sank. There I was, 24 years old. I looked and said, oh, my God, what have I done? I've left a good career, changed towns, moving here. What am I going to do? And I looked at that whole devastation there. And as I began to learn, 45 days previously, during the whole time they were recruiting me, that hotel had had a fire, and five people had died in their sleep in the night, and 33 people were still in the hospital at that point. And basically, I didn't know what to do because I really didn't have a real education. I just had some, some street smarts.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is that somebody introduced me to the book of Zig Ziglar and Dennis Waitley and Jim Rohn, and I began to dig into those stuff. But I tell you what, the one that really got me the most is Dennis Waitley and Zig Ziglar. And when I began to look at those things and study them and learn about people, I started learning this stuff back in 1984 and 85. And we talk about the successes in life. They were mine, but they weren't mine. God had blessed me at that particular point of learning how to build a team through books and those old cassette tapes. Now, you remember the cassette tapes, don't you, Tom?
I do. That's how I started listening to Zig myself on those cassette tapes.
And that's where we got our education, you and I. I mean, I think you have a college degree, but that's where I got my education. Zig called it Automobile University, and that's where I learned about business and people.
Exactly. And I used to be able to do Zig word for word. Yeah, and I'm sure lots of people like that. If he ever got sick, I could just jump in there. I could just do the whole thing, exactly how Zig did it. And, you know, that's where I got my education as well, and learning about people. And
yep.
If you learn about people, you can do anything that God has given you to do when you learn about people. And that's how you did it. And so when you start like that at a young age, 24, in a bad circumstance like that, what happened? How did you turn it around? How did you deal with it? Because this is like putting you on the spot in a hurry.
Yeah.
You think you're walking up to a 5-star and you're walking up to a fire star, fire hotel.
Well, and that's what you do, and you realize, you know, if there's a fire in a major place like that, all the chefs are gone. There's nobody to cook for, so they're not going to work. And naturally, insurance would pay people. They'd pay them a minimal amount. But these people knew that they were at a dead end, so all the good chefs and cooks, they were gone. All the good hotel people were gone. What I was left with were the people who could not get jobs anywhere else. All they could do is draw the check. But yet they saw where they were, and they wanted out of that situation, but they didn't know how to get out of it. And see, that's the same place that I was, you know, 2, 3, 4 years whenever I wound up going into the chicken business. I was in a position, and I didn't really know how to get out of it, and someone had to help lead and guide and help push me and learn how to get out of it. So the cool thing was, is here I am, an uneducated guy, beginning to learn about people, really digging in and start seeing that when we help other people achieve their dreams, when we invest in the other people, these people who had nowhere to go, when we start investing in them and start selling them that they can have their dream, they can achieve their goals, and they can get there too, then they start seeing the big picture of the goal of the hotel. In order for them to get their dream, the hotel has to succeed. And you know what? The cool thing is I just got to lead a bunch of misfits. Now, me being the misfit manager, it was just kind of like one of those cool stories that we took a nothing property, a bunch of us that no one really, really would have wanted, and turned it into something fantastic. But it was the team. It was all of us together that did it.
Amazing. Amazing. And some people, narrow-sighted managers, would say, well, if you help your team accomplish their goals and their dreams and their purpose and most of their God-given skills and talents, why, you're going to lose some good people.
Yep.
Yeah, but they're going to grow the business in the meantime. They're going to become better people in the meantime. They're going to become better parents in the meantime. And as becoming a better person, they automatically are going to make your business better. And as your business gets better, then you can attract better people when those
yep.
people leave for their purpose and their dream. So it's not short-sighted to help people underneath you to see their God-given skills and talents and purpose and abilities and help them achieve it. Because to do that, a lot of them got to earn the money. They got to do the
yep.
job. And so
that's
if
right.
you help them, if you help them with their purpose and their passion and show them how doing good, doing well on the job and going the extra mile goes towards their purpose and passion, you're actually building the business and people at the same time instead of trying to keep them down, keep those people down so they don't go anywhere else. Well, you want to
yep.
build your people up so that other people are actually headhunting them. They're like, wow, man, you work at a great organization and heard so many good things about working there. And so that's a great foresight to that you had to, you know, invest in these people's dreams and lives and help them achieve what they want so that you can get what they wanted. And you can get what you want, which sounds like a line from Zig Ziglar. You can have
yes.
everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And so very cool lesson to learn. Now, tell me about how your relationship with the Zig Ziglar company started. Because if I were a Ziglar company speaker, anybody within 3 feet of me wouldn't know about it. I'd be telling everybody if I, well, I filled up with gas, I'd be telling the guy, you know, I'm a Ziglar company speaker, right? That is quite an amazing accomplishment.
Oh, isn't it cool? It's so neat. You get to hand out that business card and say, hi, my name is Philip Hatfield. I'm with the Zig Ziglar Corporation.
Yeah, and then my mouth would drop open. You would look taller. You would look handsomer. So it would be like, wow, this guy's smarter, too, all of a sudden.
Yeah. And cool, you know, we're talking about Napoleon Hill, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize this. They don't think about it. They don't go back and listen to the old Zig Ziglar tapes that you and I talked about earlier. But in those tapes, Zig was always talking about, he listened to stuff like from Napoleon Hill. That's a lot of the foundation where Zig was getting his stuff out there. Now, Zig just did the same thing everybody does. He takes Napoleon Hill, he takes his life experiences, and he takes the things he's learned from his spiritual journey, and he begins to put these things together and begins to see himself as a business evangelist, more or less. Now, he never said that. That's just what I say. But he's how to take that message and put it in his words and how to go out and transform people. So he was taking the Napoleon Hill message forward just in Zig's way, the way he does it. Just as today, that's what Tom Cunningham is doing. You're able to take the Napoleon Hill message and put it in your way of reaching people that, you know, otherwise no one ever hear of Napoleon Hill and what's going on there. So that's the cool thing. I just wanted to put that in there because a lot of people don't realize that Zig loved Napoleon Hill Foundation.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And you know, Zig, this is how he got a lot of his inspiration, is from reading and listening to some of these great people and speakers as well. And the man made such an impact on my life.
Yep.
And so, to hand out a business card, like I'd be putting it on every car and every parking lot. I'd have a billboard up there. I'm a Ziglar Company speaker. The man made an impact on so many people. And so when you are out there and you're working and seeing people like Tom Ziglar and Howard Partridge and
Michelle Prince, yeah.
Prince, yeah. This is an amazing company to be in, and that puts you in front of a lot of amazing companies as well.
You know, what I really love, too, you know, time is going back, and I get to work with people. You never hear their names out here. But I get to work with Cindy Ziglar. I get to work with Zig's daughter. And that is kind of cool. Her office is right next door to mine. And then
it is
Tom
right
Ziglar,
next door to yours?
Next door to her. Yeah.
Oh.
And then Tom Ziglar is next door to her. But I tell you, the most wonderful person, you know, just a huge impact for me, is Laurie Majors. But to get to work in these office with these people who've been there all these years and that have impacted your life, even though you never hear their names, you know, because of them, Zig was able to do what he did. And there again, Zig took his strengths. So what were his strengths? Communication, developing, and I look at him more as like a guy like Solomon who had his own little proverbs. And Zig would take, he would simplify stuff, make his little proverbs. But Zig couldn't do that if other people weren't doing the hard work behind the scenes. But there again, Zig took his strengths. And that's what you and I and Nick Vujicic and guys like that, that's what we've learned and we've gleaned from those guys. He's, you know, life may give us a big bowl of bad lemons, let's just say. Sometimes things aren't right. You've had your ailments throughout the years. I've had mine through a tragedy. Nick was born with his as well. But you know what? When you take your strengths and we start working on our strengths and what we can do, and we forget all these things of what I can't do. And you and I are in the same boat. We have these pains every day. You were born with yours, I believe, and I got mine through an accident. But you know what, people, it's hard for us to get up sometimes. It's hard to get the bath sometimes. It's hard to get out here and focus. But if we focused on the pain, we would never get to experience the joy of what happens throughout the day. It's just like, for me, the opportunity to be here with Tom is just kind of cool. Now, I was on your radio show about a year ago, and I absolutely loved it. I kept saying, when's he going to have me back? When's he going to have me back? Then I got the call, all right, I get to go back.
Well, you and I have the same topic about triumph over tragedy, over challenges, and which works out well because your next book is called The Power of Triumph Over Tragedy. Your first one was Carried by Angels, was it?
Yes, absolutely. And that book, you know, I had a spiritual awakening in my life. I was 39 years old, and I loved Zig. I lived Zig, but Zig had one thing I disagreed with him on. You know, to me, he really wasn't the know-all guy. When he talked about spiritual stuff, I was like, nope, I ain't taking that spoke. And I was 39 years old, Tom, before I finally woke up.
Wow.
But the cool thing is I had this bad accident. I had a spiritual awakening in my life. I was 39. And then I had 10 fantastic, wonderful years of a peace in my heart, life still great, success still moving forward whenever I had my accident. So it was exactly 10 years from point A to point B. And I look at all that, and I begin to see that, golly, all that time, I was learning lessons, and I was setting myself up. It's kind of like God had these people in my life, and I was setting myself up to help myself 10 years later. And you look back, and you see all these things that you were doing, and it's kind of like you don't realize it, but you were doing things to help yourself, not even knowing it. And that's where we are. You know, if we work where we are and we start helping other people, and that's what really I loved about it. Once I had my accident 5 years ago, Tom, you know, you would think that not many people would come on a Sunday night at 7:30 to the hospital. And I wound up, I was unconscious after a little while, and I didn't wake up for quite a while. But they tell me that that night, within an hour of me arriving, there were 100 people there. It's like, wow. To realize, you know, that, and that's what I want your people and your audience to realize, is we touch lives every day that we don't even realize. And these people, whenever we've invested and we've given, and we don't think much about it, we're just living life, doing what we're learning and putting into practice. But when we're impacting lives and changing lives, and then that just comes back to drive even forward, more home, once we get to where we can start doing things, like, wow, I've got more lives to impact. I'm not done.
Amen.
I'm not done.
I'm not
and
done.
Tom, and the people kept coming. They didn't just stop that night. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And I never realized that my life had touched so many people. I would have thought maybe 30 or 40 people. I thought I'd had that many good relationships. But, wow, when you really see what's really happened in your life, it's like amazing. And then you see and you take, like, your radio show here and the lives you're touching that you don't realize you're touching. And you may never hear from them people. But, Tom, you're doing a great work. And God's going to use and do what he does in people's businesses. And, again, helping people to work in your strengths of where you are now and move forward.
Amen. And I love that spiritual awakening. It happens at various times in people's lives, and it often happens in the worst circumstances.
Yep.
And Zig helped me with mine. I know I went to see him speak the first time, go to get an autograph, and he signs a Bible verse underneath. And I'm like, what the heck is this underneath here? What's ROM? He had Romans 10, 9, and 10, which is now my favorite verse. And I'm like, what's ROM 10, 9, 10? And a buddy was with me. He says, I think that's a Bible verse. I'm like, okay, well, we better look it up whenever we get close to a Bible. And that just started a journey that really just changed my life. And once God reaches in your life, and then you go out and serve other people, and you become a part of a Bible-believing church. I've been in my church for 15 years, and I've had a number of surgeries in that time, 3 of them, I think, of my various surgeries. And you are so right. When you start serving a body of believers in a community, and you become involved in a church that and help people, and you love on people, and you pray for people, it is a testimony because, my goodness, I've been in hospital and, like, people come and they visit, and even the nurses say, wow, you get a lot of visitors. And, you know, a lot of times even I'm confused. I'm like, wow, yeah, I sure do. I'm like, this is tiring. I need, like, a secretary or something. And then, as you said, when you get home and you've built and, you know, worked and served other people, when you do it, like, when I get home, I almost need to buy, like, a second fridge because people are coming by for lunch and dinner. I baked this. I made this. I brought this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't eat this. If I ate every day the rest of my life, I wouldn't finish it all. And so you're like, wow. When you become, when God moves your life and awakens you to your purpose and your passion and serving other people, you have no idea until something happens in your life and people show up and you're like, wow, that person showed up. Like, all I do is say hi to them on Sunday. All I did was lend a book or whatever it could be. And like, wow, look at, they showed up. And that touches you, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there again, we're just working in the strengths. And sometimes our strength is our weakest point that we're sitting there in the hospital. But sometimes your strength is just that smile. Sometimes your strength is just, some people, they're not able to talk. You know, the people have all types of ailments. Some people are deaf. Some people are maybe they have some type of a sickness where they're in a wheelchair and all they can do is just look. But if you look at them, they're talking with their eyes. And if you listen to what they're saying, they'll say so much. And when we look at people, where they are and who they are, and you just look at that and you say, Lord, thank you for the gift of what I've got. And you see what I need to be doing. And then you start trying to serve those other people. It comes back. But we all have a strength. Finding what that strength is and then honing in on that and serving. The more we serve. And you and I are here today because other people served us. And now, then, Tom, it's mine and your term, and that's what we're doing. We're serving other people. And it's not always easy. But then again, it's not that hard. But it's something we have to do. And if we don't do it, it's like, what am I getting up for in the morning? Why am I doing this? Why do I want to go through the pain? Why don't Lord just take me on home? But the thing is, and the cool thing, and I know you talk a lot too, you get to speak, and last week I got to go to high school here, and I'm sorry I'm rambling here, and I just got to tell you. I spoke at a high school here at Rockwall last week and had over 2,400 students there, and I think 100, 200 teachers and staff. And, you know, you get done with the talk and you hug on these kids, you love on them, you shake their hands, and that's pretty neat. But I'll tell you the cool thing is it wasn't but a few hours after that. I come home exhausted because, you know, like I do, with our physical ailments, we're exhausted. When we get off the stage, we are physically wore out, and I had to do two keynotes because they had 1,200 room for 1,200 people at a time, 1,200 to 1,300. So we did it. Then we have an hour talk. We wait about 20 minutes. We do another hour talk. So when we get off the stage, we're exhausted. So come home and slept that night. Took a quick nap and told my wife, said, "Well, let's go out to dinner." We decided to go out to dinner, and lo and behold, at the restaurant we didn't go to, was having a fundraiser that night for the high school that I spoke at that day. It's like, now that was pretty cool, but we walk in the door, and then you have kids come up and say, "Hey, you spoke at my school today." It's like, yeah. And you say, what do you remember about it? And they begin to tell you what they remember and what they learned. And then all throughout the week, the same thing. I go to Starbucks in the morning time, 6:30, on my way to the Ziegler office, and the guy says, "Hey, are you that guy that spoke at my kid's high school the other day?" I said, "Sure. Let me tell you what my kid said." You know, one thing that I do is I do this thing called the I like exercise. You find three people in the audience that you know, and you tell them three things you like about them and why. You know, it just opens up where you're really communicating with people. And the guy says, "You know, my daughter has sat and shared with me the things she likes about me and why." He said, "Man," he said, "I never realized." But that's not the best part. You know, it's all week. And then I go out last night. I come home. My wife's had a rough day with her work. And she has a corporate job. And there's a lot of stress on her at the moment. There's a lot of people on vacation. She's got a lot to do. And she's working for literally 14 hours a day for the last 3 or 4 days. So we decided to run down, just grab a quick burger somewhere. And we go in and we order the burger. And this young man, while I'm at the cash register getting ready to pay, he said, "Hey, you're the man who spoke at my high school last week." It's like, wow. I said, "What do you remember?" And he tells me what he remembered. So then I go out after we eat. He comes by. We speak for a couple of minutes. I go out to the back of the car. I get him a book. And we sit in the car, my wife and I, and we sign it. And we go back in to hand it to him. As I go in and I give it to him, all these other kids are looking. As I'm walking out the door, another kid who worked in the back who didn't know anything about it, he said, hey, you spoke at my school the other day." And I said, "Yeah, what do you remember about it?" And they begin to tell you what they remember. And that is why we do what we do, Tom, because we get to invest in lives we don't know. And here the check is spent. It's paid. Bills are paid. Money's in the bank. The check's gone. But you know what? We keep getting paid every day by what we do. And that's why you and I and Nick Vujicic and Tom Ziegler and the Ziegler people, that's why we all do what we do, because what it does for other people.
Amen. And then the Bible talks about the good works that the Lord planned for us to do in advance. And the money's well gone, but you can create and change legacies, lives, and families and generations. When you speak into people's lives, they awaken to the fact that God loves them and that they do have skills, talents, and abilities and a purpose. And the money's well spent, but by changing one person, you could change their spouse, their kids, their family, their community, their world.
Where they work, everything.
And you don't even know the names of these people. Like, you would not even know that you've had any kind of an impact like that. And that is worth more than anything. And that's kind of a message to get across to anybody, but I love for young people that, you know, you can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what you want, they want, because a lot of people don't do that. They're not out serving the world. And it's not a mathematical formula like, oh, if I do 8 hours of service, that's worth about $912. It doesn't work that way. But what you will get for yourself and who you become and then the smile of God on your life and the blessings you'll receive all come from serving and giving. And if you can get that into people's lives so that they prove it for themselves.
They speak back into your life. And that was what's so cool. Here are my wife's having some rough days at work, and it's not a bad job. My wife has a great job, fantastic company she works for. But, you know, it's just things in business. But when you go out and these people are speaking back into your life. Now, think about this, Tom. If you and I have not gone through what we have gone through, and if you and I did not do what we do now, these other people, who's going to encourage them? Who's going to tell these kids? Who's going to do that? And that's why we take these platforms like radio shows and speaking and stuff like that. That's why we do what we do, because we, when we get down, that's the payment that comes back for us to encourage us to say, you know what, I've been through a hard time in life, and that's why I continue to go through it.
Amen. So I felt like I was with like Moses when I was arguing with God over my definite purpose. Because other than being on a show like this or like in my private life, I never talk about arthritis or pain. I don't bring it up. My friends don't bring it up. We all know it's there, but who cares? We got better things to talk about. And so when I realized that God was saying, okay, you need to encourage people through what you've gone through, I'm like, are you crazy? I don't want to talk about that. First of all, if you talk about the pain, you feel more pain because you've been talking about it, so you're focusing on it. And so I was like, oh, God, I don't want to talk about that. That's annoying. Brings back memories. And so sometimes, you need to stretch and tell your story. And a lot of people don't share their story. And if they did share their story, they would find people all around you saying, wow, you thought like that? Oh, you went through that as well. I thought I was the only person who thought like that, went through that. And so the more we can encourage people to share their story and take their story and learn and go out and use it to serve other people, it can really give a lot of meaning to someone's life if they've been through tragedy, challenge, problems, and they go on then and use it to bless other people, then they're like, wow, there's really is a benefit behind every adversity.
So, and let's take this to business. I mean, you have a pretty good business office, don't you, there, audience?
Yeah.
So let's take it to business. I mean, you look at this, if it wasn't for the changes and the challenges, how would business be able to survive? How would be able to take those things and do things for other people in their lives? So I know you've got other interests that you do besides your radio show. You've got other things you're working on, and I have other things. So you look at these things in your job and those things. It's kind of like if you can help these people around you, if you can help them to start seeing their dream and re-dream, maybe they're 55 years old. You know what? You still have dreams. You still have life. Mm. You brought up Moses a while ago, and I don't ever see where Moses retired. Do you? And there are times for us to take back and take a respite. But golly, whenever you see people and they're kind of feel like they're tired and worn out, it's because a lot of times they've lost that dream or that focus of who they are and what they need to do. Sometimes all they need is somebody like you to help them to see, you know what, I still got more living to do. There's more things that I want to do as well.
Amazing. So, and imagine if you went to a job like that every day.
And that's what drives business. We had a meeting at Ziegler back in October, and we were getting ready for our goals for this next year, and which is now 2014. So this was October, and we start the meeting, and Tom says, okay, everybody pull out a piece of paper. He says, okay, write down three things that the Ziegler Corporation can do next year to change people's lives. He didn't say write down three things to help us make more money. How can we impact the most lives in 2014? That's how a business runs. Whether you're selling cars, whether you're selling airplanes, it doesn't matter what you're doing. How can you do that change and help other people's lives? People have to have transportation. People have to have food if you work in the food industry. If you're in the garment industry, people have to have clothes. But you know what? What we're doing is we're helping them to dream into their lives of everyday living, of being encouraged. You know, and Zig says the most important person you're going to talk to today is yourself. That's self-talk. It is. You know, you got to start off with that early in the morning. Of course, my number one is you got to talk to God, but I'm always talking to myself before I talk to God. It's like, oh, my, I don't want to get up. So, Lord, thank you for today.
And imagine you go to work where people are, your boss and the company is encouraging you with your purpose and your goals and helping you and assisting you. Instead of going to like, oh, gotta go to work, you're like, man, I get so encouraged. I get so filled with joy. I get so filled with hope. And these people are helping me and encouraging me and keeping me accountable and pushing me a little bit. Then you have an engaged workforce, and maybe they're all working towards their own definite purpose, but if they know that you're helping and you're caring and everybody in the organization is helping and caring for their, each of their own separate definiteness purpose, God-given purposes, it's a lot nicer place to work. This becomes more like a community rather than a job, because now you're working with people where you know their purpose, they know your purpose, and you're each trying to help each other achieve your purpose within also having a job that pays bills and gives you some accomplishment in life.
And again, we were talking about your strengths, finding what you're good at, what are your strong points. A lot of people wind up always trying to work and try to, work on something that's not their strength. Hey, who's your favorite sports figure? Tell me somebody you really like in sports.
Guy Lafleur was one of the greatest hockey players of all time.
Greatest hockey player. Okay, so coach calls him in, and his name is Guy Lafleur, right?
Yeah.
So coach calls him in, and he says, okay, he says, we've got some problems. Your punting is bad. Your blocking is bad. You can't throw a basketball from the three-point line. We got to work on those things. So what if we tell Guy Lafleur he's got to work on all those things, but those are not quite in his wheelhouse, are they? And
not
that's what
at all.
We do in people in business. We always want to go back and start working on things that are not our strengths instead of working on what our strengths really are. Now, I don't know much about hockey. Now, tell me what's really good in hockey. What would be his strengths in hockey?
He scored a lot of goals.
How'd he do it?
He was a very fast skater, and he looked so sharp because he didn't wear a helmet, and his hair would flow out the back like he was skating so fast. It was like creating his hair to fly backwards. It was very cool.
So his strength was his speed.
Yeah.
So he was working on his, so imagine if he tried to work on instead just trying to look cool instead of his speed. So he'd be working on something totally different, some other weak part that wasn't there. And that's what we have to do in life and in business. And that's where you look at what you and I have with our ailments, and we look at our weakness. And for you and I, in all honesty, our weakness is our strength.
Amen.
Our weakness gives us the tool to go out and do things for other people. But when they look at what their strengths are and what they're good at, maybe they're good at things with accounting. Maybe they're a good leader. No matter what it is, start focusing on those things you're good at and start working on those things to improve those things and helping other people through those things.
Amen. Amen. I love it.
Sometimes it is your greatest weakness.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't even realize that till later on, but the quicker you can learn that sometimes your greatest weaknesses are your strengths, and sometimes your worst day in your life turns out to be the best day because of it reignites a purpose or a passion or a spiritual awakening. And so always look for the silver cloud in those linings of adversity and challenges. And if you can build a company where people care and genuinely care about their fellow workers and their people and encourage them through tragedy and challenge and difficulties, you're building way more than a company at that point. You're building
lives.
Community. You're building lives and you're building communities. You're building a company, but you're building it through people. And so if you as a leader of a company or an owner of a company, if you could just passionately care about your people deeply and have other people do that and encourage them and help them as much as you can, you probably don't have to do any more training than that. Those people, if they know you love them, with all your heart and will do anything to help them. They'll serve your customer better. They'll sell more. You'll have better retention. They'll go above and beyond the call of duty, all because you care about them, you love them, you're seeking out their purpose, even if their purpose and goals have nothing to do with your business. But if they know you care and are serving them for those, they will work like crazy to serve you and your business.
And that's your greatest advertisement, too, or your happy employees out there in the marketplace. Hey, come to our place. And my wife, I told you, she works for a huge corporation, one of the largest in the world. And they have a part where they have a lot of disabled people that they work at and work with. And you go into that particular area, and as they're helping these people to find their goals and their dreams and helping their dream to become realities, there are people who have cognitive disabilities that are having jobs where they actually are being productive, working on their strengths, learning how to move up in their part of the business world as far as they can. But you know what? If the company is helping them to achieve their dream, they want to be productive members of society. They want to have self-worth. They want to feel like they're people. But as the company does that, there's this one guy, his name is Charles. And Charles, man, when he gets his job, he just runs out in the streets and tells everybody where he works, you need to come here. You need to go there. This is where you need to be. This is where you got to go. What better advertising can you get than having great employees? But it's not because you've bribed them. It's because you really care about them, and they really care about their company.
Exactly, exactly. And it's infectious. And then they're telling their friends, so now you're getting a better quality employee because the people that work at your company are just bragging on your company to everybody they come across. And, of course, they're going to go above and beyond in their call of duty to serve a customer because they just love their corporate culture, the people they work with. And so, and we even see that, you know, in your posting and Tom's postings about the Ziegler Company. You have prayer meetings. You have amazing people there. And when you build a corporate culture like that, it almost feels like you're cheating people to take money because you're not really going to work. You're just going to spend time with people who love you and care for you and look out for you.
Yeah, we have a Ziegler program where we have, we just started doing this. We have Ziegler certified trainers now, and we did our first class back in November, and we keep the class small, about 22 to 25 people maximum. And we just want to get it so that they come in and spend a whole week with us. And we love on them, and they love on us, and we get to know them, and they get to know us. And you know what? As they get ready and they go out, it's kind of like they found a whole new culture. Even though they're coming for business to go out to be certified speakers and trainers, they find it so much more because we have that one thing that we're all connected with, and it has to do with our faith, you know, where we are, where our strength comes from. And we even have people who may not be on the same faith page we have. We have a gentleman who comes in from another country who doesn't have the same faith we have, but when he sees our faith, it makes him stronger. It's like, I want more of that. How do I get more of that? But yet he's going back teaching the character and ethics, and as he's taking this message back to his country, teaching those character and ethics, he's teaching the very faith that we're just living out before him.
Which is
so a lot of times
people.
It's not that you got to go holler your faith. You just live it and do it. And then it just works.
Amen. Then it just works. Exactly. Exactly. And that's how it works best. And that's something. Another thing you mentioned earlier. I remember when I went to the Born to Win. 4 days, amazing. And we got a pad of them of I like because, and your job for like 4 days was just going around I like because, I like because, I like because.
Yep.
Boy, I sure liked a lot of people in that time. It was very cool, and what an experience to go around writing out and giving to people that card, I like because, and seeing people's faces, like, wow, I never got anything like this. Nobody ever told me how much they care for me and like me and why, and powerful experience.
So maybe this whole call and this whole radio show today is for Tom to pull out his I Like pad That's why you hear I like Pat. But you know what? You can do that one-on-one and quietly no matter where you go. But I love doing it whenever I'm talking to groups. And like there was 1,200 kids the other day and get them to do it. And it's just pretty neat to see what happens. And you'll see kids laughing. You'll see them crying. Some take it serious. Some take it jokingly. But it's amazing to see what really happens. And you think, here I am, a 54-year-old man, almost 55. What would high school kids want to hear from me? I'm not cool. I don't have all that stuff down. But it's amazing to see that all they really want to know is that you care. And Zig always said that is people don't care how much you know till you know how much they care, that you care. But Zig added two words to that about them. Mm-hmm. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care about them. When they see what you care about them, and it can't be fake. It's got to be genuine. As you care about them and you show them and you teach them and you model it right here in your own community, it's just that's what we're called to do. We can't reach the world if we can't reach our own community. And we can't reach our own community if we can't reach our own office and our own home where people know us the best. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, like Vic said, it's time for a checkup from the neck up. We just got to stop, take a look, see who we are, and say, this is not who I want to be, and this is not who I am.
And
we just
this is not who God created me to be.
Yeah. Yeah, pull out those old Napoleon Hill tapes. Pull out the Zig Ziglar tapes. Get you a couple of books. Get in a Bible-believing church, like just like you said. Or if you're not in the church, go to the synagogue. Go to your temple, wherever it is. Because I firmly believe that if you're out searching for truth, you're going to find the truth.
Amen.
I just firmly believe that. But getting involved in your community is the number one thing you can do.
Exactly, exactly. And when we live in North America, this is a global blessing, Philip. Like 4 out of 10 people in the world live on less than $2 a day.
Yep.
So we live in North America, an amazing global blessing. We should feel bad if we're not at least paying our community and people we know back with love and kindness and generosity and money and energy and however we can. Yeah, like we are blessed people. We should be paying the world back.
My scriptures say that we're to return 10% of all that have gained. But you know what? We always think that it has to do with dollars. And you just hit the nail on the head. What have you gained? You've gained life.
Mm.
You've gained encouragement. You've gained freedom. It's not just 10% of what you've earned, but 10% of who you are. Because what you are is worth a whole lot more than any amount of money.
Amen. And a lot of what we are, we had nothing to do with. Being
exactly.
Born in Canada, like I'm born in Canada, with our system of health care here, I've been in hospital 40 times and it cost me nothing every time. Not everybody lives in a country like that. And
yep.
So what a blessing, what a blessing. And sometimes we just forget what a blessing we live with every day.
Yep. So there again, look at the strength we have. We don't even realize that we have. The freedoms that we have, the blessings that we have. All you got to do is just stop, do that checkup from the neck up. Realize, hey, I'm not leading the life I want to lead. There's so much more to this. And you know what? We have grown up and we've lived in such a narcissistic society where we want to keep everything for ourselves. Well, I want that. That's mine. That's mine. I want that. And I want this. But you know what? When we do that, we're reaching around and we got one arm on one shoulder, one arm on the other shoulder, and we're hugging ourselves. And when we're hugging ourselves, that don't leave any room for anybody to get to you. But when you open up and you just start sharing with other people, you open your arms and you open your heart and you open your life, that's when you really start getting so much more. The finances, they begin to come. When you do the right things, you know, our needs will always be met. Sometimes our wants won't be met, but our needs will always be met. And we'll always find that, golly, when our needs are met, really, our wants become a whole lot less. Wow.
I hadn't thought of it that way. When you experience what we experience, sometimes your wants are less. You're like, wow, you know, I should be giving more and wanting more.
And you know what I find what's so funny? The older I get, the less I want. You know what? I guess I'm really getting old. I'm 54, 55. I love a nice, boring, quiet night at home. So I look
exactly.
forward to that.
Amen. So when is the book coming out?
Well, I'm having trouble there on my book, and to be quite honest, I'm looking at probably changing the title of it. I'm having trouble with my book cover. I haven't found anything I really like. I'm trying to design a nice cover. So I've got the book pretty well written and done. It's just trying to find what's going to reach. And someone told me the other day, said, well, I wouldn't pick up that book and read it because of the title. And there again, the title that I was working with is Power of Triumph Over Tragedy. Well, maybe it's because they're not supposed to be the person to read that book. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I've got to decide that. But I really wrote the book to try to get out here in the business world, in the business community, in the secular world. And even though I'm telling part of my story, I'm also giving tools about the power of encouragement, the power of relationships, and the power of living in our strengths. So I'm trying to give some tools there as well. And at the same time, I'm trying to do just like Napoleon Hill, just like Zig, you know, leave the little trail in there that they find their spiritual awakening. Because we all have to find that, because we're all spiritual beings. And anybody that thinks they're not, I tell you, you know, like I do, we were in the hospital many times, and I tell you what, I three firm atheists, and they were all in the hospital. I know they were atheists, Tom, because they told me they were atheists. However, all three of these men came in at night. One had been shot, one had been stabbed, and one had been in a wreck. And in the night, they would cry, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And for hours, I'd hear that all night. Oh, God. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Then when they were better a day or two later, and they see all the people coming in my room and that about your faith, well, I just don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I always like to remind each and every one of them, well, three nights ago, you were not an atheist because you sure did call on God a lot. So it's different when we get in that situation that we need. We're all spiritual beings, and we all know there's something stronger and bigger than ourselves. And once we find that and we submit to that power that's greater than we are, then we find out who we really are and whose we are. And through that strength and that power, we can more than achieve our goals, because God has so much more for us to do, better than we can even dream of ourselves.
Amen, amen. Now you got me pumped up here. Woohoo! You sound a lot like Zig with a different story.
And that's it. And that's what you do. The same with what you're doing with who you are. You're the same guy. You're the Napoleon Hill guy, just with a different story. And that's your job. Napoleon Hill's not here to reach those. That's your job. You got that message to take it out. That's what you do.
And then only because they didn't have Ziegler certified speakers. When I heard about that earlier, when I interviewed Tom earlier this year, or late last year, I was like, what, a Ziegler certified speaker? You're going to see me there again someday soon, because the only one I would ever consider other than Napoleon Hill is Zig Ziegler.
And you're one of those guys that can get in. And I'll tell you what, the criteria is we're not looking for everybody. We're looking for the right people. And you're one of those right people, I can tell you that. But it's more than just a Ziegler certified speaker. You're a certified trainer, a certified coach, taking the Ziegler philosophies. And you're able to take with what you have. And there again, it's not taken away from Napoleon Hill, because that's where the bases are. Zig and Napoleon, they both robbed. They took that stuff from Jesus.
Amen. Exactly. And that's sometimes I have a challenge with that, because sometimes people in the church, when you use you're telling them about a book called Think and Grow Rich, they're like, sure, eh? And but there was nothing, anti-biblical in Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, look at Joseph, my goodness. Look at Joseph. Didn't he think and grow rich?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Now, did he not have challenges to overcome and some struggles to overcome and things that he did not deserve? For over 13 years, the man was in prison for something he didn't deserve. But did he not become one of the wealthiest and most powerful men? But he did that in giving. And what did he do after that? He still gave. And then when those who wronged him the most, his very brothers, he gave them grace and he gave them mercy. He gave them forgiveness. He never quit giving, and yet he was still more wealth kept coming. It's like the more he gave, the more wealth that come. But it's not the wealth he was after, was it?
Not at all.
He was a peace of heart and bringing honor to his faith in his God. That was the power that kept him going.
Amen. Amen.
So Think and Grow Rich, yes, sir. That book is very biblical. It's all through the Bible.
Amen, amen. And Zig's is full of it as well. All this stuff, God He put us in North America, and so our job should be to earn as much as we possibly can with the skills, talents, and abilities
yep.
God gave us for living in North America,
yep.
and then we can use all that money we earn to help and serve and give and give to people who never have a chance, those 4 out of 10 people in the
yep.
world who live on less than $2 a day. That's the type of people we need to help. And so, yeah, if we don't earn as much as we can, we're kind of letting God down.
Well, and you know, there's another name that I want to bring up that you never hear. That's Mary Kay of Mary Kay Cosmetics.
Mm.
Either what, that lady has done more for so many people, but you never hear her name and what she's done. But you know what? She is the one that actually gave Zig the chance. She sat out in the hall and listened to him as she hired him to train some of her people. And as she sat out there, she liked what she heard, and then she called him in. Do you know that because of that one lady that not only launched a company and changed all these people's lives, but then she saw a man that had some talent that she could use, that they could help, and because of Mary Kay, you've now heard of Zig Ziglar, because she's the one that helped push to get him there. And because of her influence and the influence of the Napoleon Hills and all that that they put in back in Zig years ago, and then Zig's personal experiences and his own tragedies, and he'll tell you, I think he says, I turned a car in one time, which meant, hey, my car was repossessed one time.
And I remember him also saying,
my car was repoed.
Yeah, I sold a lot in my first year. I sold my couch. I sold my TV.
But Think and Grow Rich, it's more than about money. It's about who you are, and as you are, the finances take care of themselves. So, and do I have it? No, I don't have all those monies right now. But you know what? I'm not chasing the money. But I know when I chase the right thing that those dollars will take care of themselves. If I do the right thing will take care of itself. So.
Amen. And you're creating a legacy that will outlive you, where some people will be blessed that haven't even ever met you. And this is really what God puts us here for. The money helps us eat and have a house over our head and clothes, but the legacy we leave that impacts and changes other people's lives that often we'll never hear about is the purpose, the reason that God created,
yep.
and what we're going to get a big high five for in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Yep.
High five me. Good job. You did good. And that's really in the end.
Well, I know you're getting close on time, but let me just say this. Had it not been for Mary Kay doing what she did, you'd have probably never heard of Zig. Had it not been for Zig doing what he did, look at all the other lives that we have that are impacted. And here you are, and you have a radio show. And you may not think sometimes that you're impacting many people, but you know what? I think what goes on the Internet, those airwaves are always out there, aren't they?
Amen.
We never know when someone's going to pick that up and listen to that we're actually working and doing and changing those lives. So, Tom, I just want to encourage you. You keep doing what you're doing. I know sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes you think people aren't listening. Maybe they're not calling in, as whatever that may be. But you know what? You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, or you would know you're supposed to be doing something else.
Amen.
But if this is the passion that you have, you keep doing what you're doing, because your word is getting out there, and you are changing lives.
Amen, and thank you so much. Give everyone, you get to work with, Lori Majors.
I
could
Lori.
I could go, 5 years without contacting you guys, and then I'll just email in, and
Lori
will be like, hey, Tom, how are you? Oh, too tall.
Oh, and let me tell you, there's Michael McGowan in the sales department, been there 18 years. He and I become, just great friends, and there's Margaret that's there. The cool thing is, like I said earlier, getting to work with Cindy Ziegler, and you never hear her name. We hear of Julie. Julie's out speaking, but Cindy's the quiet one. And when you read Zig's books and his very first book, he talks about the quiet one who always made herself known. That was Cindy. But we have Julie Ziegler. We have Cindy, Laurie, Michael, Margaret. I tell you, it's just amazing just to be able to be there. And we all have one thing, and that's to keep the Ziegler message going, which Zig's message was the same message that's in that book of the scriptures, and that's it.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Philip. It's been exciting. I lost track of the time here. I'm having so much fun. I feel like I'm at a motivational seminar.
Well, you've got 2 minutes to wrap up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much. And luckily, you're one of those people who's easy to find online, because your website is the same as your name. So Philip,
yep.
with two L's, Hatfield. com. And so philiphatfield.com, the only thing you need to really remember there is got two L's for Philip. And that's where you'll find you. I'm looking forward to seeing your new book when it comes out. I sure hope some company in Canada and Toronto invites you to come down here so I can see you. And give a big hug to Tom and Lori and Michelle and Howard. Great organization you work with. Thanks for
your time. Well, you can do that. All you do is tell your friends there, hey, I know a great speaker. Bring him to Canada.
There you go. I'm gonna get around. Maybe you and I could speak on the same stage. We could have a race across the stage.
We'd love to have you at the Ziegler office. You come back.
We'll have a race across the stage, see who's faster.
You. I got one leg. I got a hop.
I got four bum knees and leg and hips, so we'll have a race. We'll see who wins. Thanks, Philip. Have an amazing day, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, buddy. God bless.